As we all know, this next, I hope we know, the festive ab starts at sundown tomorrow. And I thought we would do at least one of the readings. So let's go to Jeremiah 16. Remember, this was a time when from all apparent purposes or views, Israel was strong and successful. They did all the feasts right. They were making money as individuals. Everything was going well. And then Jeremiah started his warnings. And so this first one is warnings of what to repent. There's a whole bunch of, I don't think we ever read them all, because we'd never do anything but read Jeremiah. But let's go to...
Never get out of a pit of despair if you've read them all.
Yeah. Let's go to chapter 15 of Jeremiah. This is called the Lord. This whole chapter is about the Lord's unyielding anger with Judah or Judea. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as for death, to death, such as for the sword, to the sword, and such as for famine, to the famine, and such as for captivity, to captivity. Now, wait a minute. There's no really good options there. And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord: the sword to slay, the dogs to tear, the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and to destroy. He's talking about his people. But his people began living as the Gentiles. These people that resurrected in their minds all of the high places and the groves, and the idolatry was massive, but it looked fine to everybody except Jeremiah. What?
I'm taking it in. It's a feeling.
Verse 4, and I will cause them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. Now remember what he did. Hezekiah was one of the great kings in all of the history of Israel. And his son, Manasseh, set up a golden calf in the temple, and that actually set up two of them. Now, what did that mean? What was going on? Did anybody remember? What was the golden calf symbolized? What did it mean? They did it first.
They did it to the God that brought them out of Egypt, so they thought they were worshiping the right God, but they were making an image of what they thought God should.
And they did that. Well, remember, they were then living in the age of Taurus. You know, every 2,000 years, there's a different age. and they were living in the age of Taurus, and so that became, that's why the calf, if you will, was the image of the sign of the zodiac that was in the 2,000 years that they were in. That's, but Pete's right, they built it because they wanted something that they can see, something that they could perceive regarding their success, if you will.
Would he have done this to honor those who originally put it together, an old calf, and thought he was doing a good thing?
Well, yeah, because remember what happened with what it. It was Moses came back down and Aaron said, they caused me to do it.
Yeah.
Essentially those words.
Yeah, I just wanted to know Manasseh's motivation wasn't evil.
It wasn't evil from anybody's mind.
Yeah.
If it was evil from their mind, they wouldn't have done it. But they had accepted the success as being the purpose of God. And so that to honor that success, they put up not just one, but two calves in the holy place, or in the temple.
It makes one wonder if he had no idea of the history of Moses destroying the tablets.
I don't know.
You can rationalize anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can rationalize, and we do it. we are rationalizing today. This is why this is to us. We rationalize today success as something from God. Anyway, and we think that if things aren't going the way we think they should, what we do is we trivialize suffering or tribulation and think it's strange. And we honor success and wealth and et cetera because that's what we think God wants us to have. All right. And verse 5, for who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? Or who shall bemoan thee? Or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest? Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. This is what they had done is this one scripture in Galatians where it says, if you build again the things that you destroyed, then you make yourself a transgressor. Remember, you came to God in some place of neediness because what you were doing did no longer satisfy or gave you sustenance. And you were then poor. And you come to God in that position, accept Christ, or however you want to put it. But then you build again the things which you destroyed, and you make yourself a transgressor. You become just like all the rest of the Gentiles. Everybody understand that? Thou hast forsaken me. Verse 6. Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. And I will fan them with a fan in the gates of the land, and I will bereave them of children. I will destroy my people, since they will not return from their ways. Now, Jeremiah had been warning them to repent in the true meaning of repentance since he began his ministry. He tried not to, remember? I'm not going to talk about this anymore. I don't get any response from anybody. And then he said, in chapter 6, he said something to the effect that, but your word burned within me, and I could not forbear. I couldn't stop it. All right. Their widows, in verse 8, their widows are increased to me above the sand of the seas. I have brought upon them against the mother of the young man a spoiler at noonday. I have caused him to fall upon it suddenly, and terrors upon the city. She that hath borne 7 languisheth. She that has given up the ghost, her son is gone down while it was yet day. She hath been ashamed and confounded, and the residue of them will I deliver to the sword before their enemies, saith the Lord. Woe is me, my mother, that hast borne me, a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me. Now, you understand, this is Jeremiah's response to this. I don't want to do all this. This is why this Fast of Tammuz, between the Straits and the Fast of Ab, it was done every year. These scriptures were read every year because it was the time between Pentecost, which was the empowerment of the bride, so people could live by faith alone, and they went instead. What did they do? They bought themselves back into the world system. They honored the same thing the world did. They esteemed the same things the world did. And it looked like peace. It looked like wonderful. And it was, as we know, every generation from the first beginning of Israel, every generation, they may have one time where there's honor of God and faith, and then boom, it goes downhill. And then it happens again. And they repent, and then boom, it goes downhill. It happens at every 40 years or so, I mean approximately, in the history of Israel. And that's why we read these, so that we won't follow the same.
Jeremiah's saying that everybody's cursing him like you would do if you were cursing somebody who is,
yeah,
you know, a loan shark, you know, damn him. You know, and he has this, like, they're treating me like a usurer.
Then in verse 11, the Lord's response, he said, the Lord said, verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. Shall iron break the northern iron and the steel? Thy substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even at all thy borders. And he's now talking back to Israel. And I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, which shall burn upon you. And then Jeremiah again, now he's lamenting again. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me, and revenge me of mine persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual, and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, and as waters that fail?
He's really not liking this message God's giving him to give.
No.
That's what
Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, repent. That's what return means. If thou shub, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. Every one of the prophets went through something like this. Remember when Ezekiel had to eat bread mixed with his own dung to show Israel what they were doing?
Who told him to do that?
God. Therefore, thus saith the Lord. Did I just read that? What?
Wrong 20.
Oh, 20, I'm sorry. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked. And again, remember, every time in the Old Testament and in the New, when it says the wicked, it's the wicked one. Every case still is the same. You are the wicked one.
It goes both ways here, doesn't it?
Hmm?
It goes both ways here because this is outside coming in.
Yeah, but he's saying, God is saying that I will deliver thee your ideas from you. He has to deliver first. He has to deliver him from the wicked one, which is his self. Oh, let's read a few of 16. And again, remember, this had no chapters and no verses. It was a long letter. The word of the Lord came also unto me, saying, thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. For thus saith the Lord concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that begat them in this land. They shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth. And they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. And remember when the siege of Jerusalem, which was going to happen in just a little while now, that's when the book of Lamentations was written. And that's where we got the idea, or they got the being between the straits, between the fast of Ab and the fast of Tammuz. And the same is true now, because this is now our Jerusalem that now is. This is our mind. At the fast of Ab, I mean fast of Tammuz, there's a wall, and that wall, we break into that wall. 21 days, all of this idolatry has a chance to be destroyed. All the idolatry and value systems that are in you that you didn't get from God but came from your traditions of your fathers. All these things that you think are the way it should be are all idols. So that's why it was between the straits. It was God's mercy to, so that they had a chance to repent. They didn't. And that's why this is done every year, to give us a chance to repent during this time of being between the straits. Repent for accepting and giving breath to anything in the world, or which means loving the world, or anything in the world. And verse 5, for thus saith the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament nor bemoan them. For I have taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even loving kindness and mercies. Both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. Neither shall men tear themselves for them in mourning to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or their mother. Thou shalt not go also into the house of feasting to sit with them, to eat, to drink. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. I pray that doesn't happen here. I pray that this time would be the time of real repentance.
Amen.
From all idolatry. From all of accepting the value systems of this world. This is why people don't read the Old Testament. That was for the old, bad God. Now we got the new God, the better God, the nice God. Verse 10, and it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is thy sin that we have committed against the Lord? Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. You have done worse than your fathers, for behold, you walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore will I cast you out of this land. Do you understand that everything he's saying is stuff that the preachers are saying today? God wants you to be successful. If there's suffering in your life, it's not of God. If there's a death, God didn't do it. Therefore, verse 13, therefore will I cast you out of this land. No, I didn't finish 12. And you have done worse than your fathers, for behold, you walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land that you know not, neither you nor your fathers. And there shall you serve other gods day and night, wherein I will not show you favor. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth, that brought up this children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, brought up these children. But the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the earth north and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and from the holes of the rocks. For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land, they have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth, and they shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. Hallelujah. And then
it's a heavy chapter.
Let's read 17 and 18. 19 and 20, I think, are all readings also. And chapter 20 is where they put him in jail. And then in verse 7, we get just one little bit. In verse 7 of chapter 20, this is one of my favorite parts. O Lord, thou hast deceived me. When I was deceived, thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, and everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Hallelujah. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, they say, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed. And we will prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as mighty, a mighty and terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, they shall not prevail, they shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, thou that triest the righteous and seest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance upon them. For unto thee have I opened my cause.
They threw him down in a pit, didn't they?
Yeah.
So there was nobody to hear what he was saying. It's like, you don't even want the jailers to hear.
Well, this is preparation for the Festival 101. Be sure, if you read nothing else during the Festival, read the Book of Lamentations. I hope you read all the assigned readings, but there's quite a few. But remember, you can't. It's forbidden even to read the Bible, except for the bad parts that are assigned. And the reason is so that we can get a better handle on what repentance is. I promise you, if you have any value system that the world has, you are in need of repentance. If you fear anything the world fears, you are in need of repentance. You are crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified unto you. That means there's nothing for you in the world that is attractive. World sees you and sees nothing attractive. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody have any other response?
I was thinking the one thing Jeremiah had to hold on to was the promise from God that he would protect him, keep him safe.
Yeah, but that didn't, he didn't get that promise until way into it.
He was already down the road.
He was way down the road before he got that promise.
Plus he got thrown into the pit.
Yeah.
Didn't seem like very good
to some people that might seem like he wasn't watching out for
him. Yeah, he got thrown into the pit.
Believe it or not, when I in Damascus, when I was thrown into the, I didn't put thrown, but they made me walk. They stripped me naked, and I had to walk down that rope ladder into this deep pit, and it was nothing but feces and urine in it. And the guards came and amused themselves by urinating on me. I thought it was the end, but I remembered that Jeremiah's accept. And it's funny because the place when I got out of jail, when I got out of that, they put me in this fancy hotel that within 50 yards of it was this sign. And that was the place where Paul had his Damascus Road experience.
Really?
So I had the pit and the
literal pit.
It was like in a day and a half. Boom. Anyway, anybody else?
Good times.
Everybody, anybody, can anybody say amen to all this?
Amen.
All right, take a big dive.